And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Karina Pataki, Romanian-born speaker, author, and spiritual minister who's passionate about helping others awaken to their true selves. Today, we're going to talk about the extraterrestrial role in Christianity, Judaism, and world religions. Karina, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Wow. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. What an honor and a privilege to be invited on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, the honor is all mine, and we're excited to have you. Karina, when you were living in Romania, you were identified as someone who had exceptional abilities, and you were exposed to some of the most advanced technologies in the Romanian intelligence services. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I am on a journey right now, starting this year, actually, of getting a lot of my memories back. There have been a lot of things that have taken place in my life when I was a little girl, all the way back to where I was actually in the crib. And all of these memories have started coming back this year. So I am piecing together things that I've always questioned, things that I've always wondered about. You know, for instance, we attempted to escape communist Romania on two occasions. First, what was when I was 7 years old, and then when I was 8 years old, and I'm the youngest of three children. I'm the only girl. So during that time, such supernatural occurrences happen in our story. Yes, I mean, for sure, the supernatural intervention of heaven, of divine creator, where it was manifested in ways that it was heard throughout the region. But also I realized, and my parents, you know, I verified it with my parents and, you know, and details that we've had and things that were documented, where there is no way these things could have happened had it not been for the hand of certain people in very high positions in the government levels in Romania at that time. So I am on a journey right now of just getting these memories and connecting these memories. But definitely there has absolutely been something besides supernatural intervention of heaven, if you will, in our situation. There definitely was the hands of men in very high positions orchestrating our escape, really, from Romania. And I know that had to do with my protection.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the abilities that you had?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, you know, since I was a little child, I was very different. My birth was very strange. I was born, I was actually, let's see, I was supposed to be born on the 29th of January. But the evil ones had altered my timeline to make sure that I would not be born, that I would die, because I ended up being born on the 6th of February. So that means that I was in my mom's tummy, in her womb, for 9 days after her water broke. So that's unheard of. You know, very, very, very rare if a child survives that, and a child and or the mom or both. So they moved my mom from three different hospitals to three different cities. Nobody wanted to touch her. They were waiting for a specialist to come. From my birth, I was very unusual. My birth was very unusual. The way I was born was very unusual. And my gifting ability was very unusual, as well as my abilities to connect with divine creator, who I call Father, Holy Spirit, I call mom, my mom, and Yeshua, I call my older brother. So from a very young age, I had the ability to connect with them and to engage and even go in heavenly realms, what you would call heavenly realms. Even though when I was seven, my parents became Christians as Pentecostals. And for anybody that knows the Pentecostal branch of Christianity, they're very strict. And you are told there's no way, you know, you can see Jesus when you die, or unless you're special, and there's rarely ones that are special. There's no way you can go to heaven unless you die. Everything was no way. Everything was like gatekeepers telling you what you can and cannot do. Well, I was outside of that. I didn't fit into that. And so that's one very interesting and unnormal connection with Father, Holy Spirit, Yeshua began since I was a little girl. Now, at the age of nine, we were already in the United States. I was able, you know, I'm going to try not to get in so many details, or if you want me to, I can. But we were at a prayer meeting on a Sunday evening, and all of a sudden there were about 50 people. We were in Chicago in this apartment. And at one point this power fell on me. It was so strong that it literally lifted me up off of my knees. I was literally bouncing off my knees, 3 feet up in the air, going from person to person. And I saw their whole life. I saw in a vision, I heard clear words of things that needed to be spoken to these people. And I don't know these people from Adam. Here I was, a 9-year-old child. And this is when I can say, in the Christendom vocabulary, if you will, the prophetic mantle sort of fell on me. So from that, my giftings in clairvoyance and, you know, the abilities to see, to engage, to travel, astral travel, whatever you want to call it, intensified so much so that they took me as this little Romanian girl throughout all of the prophet, throughout all of the regions in Chicago and throughout Illinois, throughout Detroit, Michigan. And it got to a point, Jeff, where I was like, I didn't want it anymore because I was put under such scrutiny. Again, we're talking about Romanian Pentecostals, very strict, like this. And wherever I was taken, the elders of the church would test the spirit to make sure that it's from God, that it's not demonic. So, you know, it became like I felt like I was being used. And at the same time, I was not encouraged. I was put under a microscope and I could not become, I was not a child. I couldn't be a child because I had these gifts. Therefore, I was expected, you know, to act different. I was expected to be an adult, to act like an adult. Yet I was a child, you know, and that had these abilities. So yeah, throughout my whole life, I've had very, very, very deep, a deep connection with the Father and amazing abilities that I'm so thankful for right now, because I have been so blessed to help others around the world for them to awaken and to realize who they are, the potential that's inside every single one of us. Because you guys, it's not about me. It's not about a special person. We all have these abilities. Every single one of you beautiful ones out there watching, you have to remember that you are not what your experiences say. You are not what your situations were. You are not the traumas that you were. You are so much more than that. You are infinity. Infinity itself is inside of you. So every ability that comes from divine creator is inside of you. You just need to remember. That's all you need to do. Remember, and then dare to step in it and dare to walk it out, because there is no limit. Listen to me. The only limit that we have is the limits that we put on ourselves, the limits that we allow the situations of our past to put on ourselves. Those limits, one, to become your gatekeeper that tells you, you cannot do this. And it's time, you guys, that we all look at that and say, you will not dictate who I am. I know who I am. I'm remembering who I am. I'm choosing to awaken and to step into the fullness of who I am remembering that I am. You are not a victim. And I know this is a Christian cliche and I'm going to use it because I love it. You're not a victim. You are a victor. So, Jeff, sorry. I just kind of...
I thought that was great. And what's amazing is that one podcast seems to lead into another very often. And you don't know me. We just met. And the video that was posted yesterday is about our limiting beliefs and our subconscious, like our subconscious trapping of our limiting beliefs. So it's awesome to hear this from you today.
Thank you.
Upon hearing your story, it makes me wonder if you had some sort of near-death experience while you were still in your mother's womb because of this situation that happened, and perhaps that turned on those abilities for you like it does to so many other near-death experiencers.
Wow, you know, Jeff, I've never thought of that, but that's a great question. I know that as the memories came back to me, I saw myself in the womb. And I was told of the evil ones, the dark ones. I came here like all of us, you guys. All of us have come here. We have chosen to come here with a mandate that is in our blueprint. Every single one of us. We chose. That's why you're here. If you're here, it's because you chose. So in this memory that came to me, I saw myself in the womb, and I was told that the evil ones, the dark forces, wanted to make sure that I was never born. So, and it was allowed. They altered my timeline 9 days, and it was allowed because, you know, and I want to say this to you, beautiful audience, I'm sure they have heard it, but for those of you that have not, I want to share this with you. Remember, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And whatever is meant to destroy you is allowed, because that very thing will catapult you into who you truly are. So in other words, divine creator will use whatever to turn it around for your good, for your good. So that's what happened with me. It was allowed, because had I been born, I was born with a very, very strange looking umbilical cord. So, and these are memories that are coming back. And Jeff, actually, I've only shared a little bit of this with on Dr. Sala's show, Michael Sala. So, but it's just coming to me. So I'm going to share it. I'm going to go with what I feel. I was born with a very unusual umbilical cord. Had they not altered my timeline, they would have seen my umbilical cord when I was born. They would have taken me. So that's why I'm saying, you guys, no matter what happens, divine creator will always take what the dark ones mean for bad to turn around for your good, for your protection. So my timeline was allowed to be shifted, because me being those 9 days in my mom's womb without water dried up my umbilical cord. So therefore they could not see anything unusual about it. So in that time, Jeff, yeah, it's very, very possible that, you know, that I did, and I just don't remember, but that's a great question.
So are you saying that your umbilical cord perhaps had some sort of blockage where you weren't getting very much blood?
No, my umbilical cord was actually quite large, and it was connected to a part of my brain in the back, where had I been born with it, I would have had all my memories intact. I was supposed to be born with my memories intact. Therefore, I would have done what I agreed to come and do from the get-go. It would not have taken me over 40 something years to remember who I am and to begin really walking fully in the fullness of what I came here to do. So, but because they altered my timeline, which again was in a way to protect me, I was not born with that strange umbilical cord. Had I been born with that, they would have definitely taken me. They would have definitely taken me because throughout my life, you know, when I was, in the nursery. So in Romania, nursery, would you go to nursery all the way to the age of two? So we're talking about two and under. The officials from the nursery came to my parents and they said, we were given some funds from the government to be able to take the children, nursery age children, may I remind you, two and under, to the Black Sea for benefits. Now you have to understand the Black Sea has a lot of amazing, the air, the quality of the air, the minerals, the richness of the soil. It's all very therapeutic and very for health purposes, right? But so during that time, not a lot of parents had the finances to take their children to this area for health. That was just the truth. So my parents were approached by the nursery saying that there's this program that the government gave to take these children to the Black Sea. Now, I have to tell you, where I lived is in Timișoara, which is on the west coast of the country, okay? All the way west coast, and the Black Sea is all the way southeast. They took me for 12 days. I was gone, under 2 years old, to the Black Sea without my parents. So that's where I know that they have tried. They tried to unlock some things in me. They tried to find out who I truly am. But even in that, I was protected. So yes, my story is quite incredible, especially with these memories that are coming. I'm just really to me, it's so important, Jeff, and to your beautiful audience, for us to try to go after our memories. And I'm not talking about going digging for memories that were traumatic. That is not what I'm talking about. Because if memories that are traumatic need to come up in order for you to heal, divine source will bring them up, but he will only bring them up when you are ready to be healed, not to be traumatized all over again. Because it's not about you being traumatized. That is not the heart of love. That is not the heart of the Father. That is not the heart of, that is not the best for you. That is not your highest good. What I'm talking about is memories that were stolen or we forgot of who we really are, so that we can then, remembering who we are, we can step into the fullness of the abilities that are locked inside those memories. So Jeff, it's so important. I'm realizing more and more right now how important it is for people to go after their memories. Remember who you are. It's time for us to awaken out of our spiritual amnesia. Because once we awaken, we remember who we are, then we remember the fullness of the abilities that we carry, that we have inside our DNA, that have been laying dormant because we did not remember who we are. So it's so important, Jeff.
In what way should we be going after these memories? Like with hypnotherapy?
I mean, there's so many different ways. I was really, really blessed to have help from an amazing lady, and I'll name her because I've interviewed her, and Suzanne Spooner. She's incredible. She came highly recommended to me. She's one of the top quantum hypnosis healing, and but the way I began with me was my desire. I got to a point at the beginning of the year where I knew that there were memories that I needed to remember. So what I did is I left everything. I mean, you know, I have kids. I went to my friend's house and we spent the whole night. I meditated. I went in. Listen to me. Inside of you are realms of infinity. Inside of you are memories. It's inside. Even the Bible says, Yeshua said, the kingdom realms, infinity itself is inside of you. So don't, you know, for me, Jeff, it's not going out there and looking out there. It's going within. It's quieting myself. It's allowing my heart's desire. Because when you focus on something, wherever you focus your desire, you create. Whatever you set your mind to and thoughts, because thoughts are a frequency. So when you release that thought, it goes up in the cosmos. It goes up, but in. Because as within, so without, right? So when you release that thought based on your desire to remember who you are, that frequency is going to go out from within and is going to pull to the surface the memories that you're looking for. So you guys, it's really about desire and it's going within. And this is one thing I say, do not poo-poo anything. No matter how crazy it sounds, you're going to have to trust it. And then confirmation is going to start coming. And then you can say, okay, this was confirmed. Okay, this is it. Or this is not, I'm going to put it here on the shelf because I don't really know where it belongs. So it's a step-by-step process, but it starts with desire. It starts with going within. It starts with quieting yourself. Make time. This is not a microwave moment. This is not, you know, this is a slow cooker, if you will. We have to really spend time. I literally do this, Jeff, if not every weekend, every other weekend, where I am set my mind, set my heart, set my desire that this is what I'm going to do. And I do it the whole night.
As a child or a young child, you were heavily involved in religion and it was kind of an interruption in your life. Yes. But at some point you embraced it and became a Christian minister, right?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Yes. My desire since I was a little girl, and of course it evolved and with the maturity, you know, of normal maturity as, you know, physical maturity. But my desire has always been to know who I am, because the church from a young age, I've questioned my dad. I've said, why would a loving father want to sacrifice? Why would God, a loving father, ask Abraham to sacrifice his son that was a promise to him? I was terrified. I was terrified with these things that I found in the Bible, Old Testament specifically. So what I'm trying to say is what I knew inside and what I've experienced in my spiritual journeys did not match what I heard from the church. So I wanted to know who I was. And the more I discovered who I was as I matured in age, also in my spiritual abilities and in age, my desire was then to teach others. So my thing was always identity. What is my identity? Because if I understand my identity, I understand the fullness of the ability that I have inside that identity. So as I grew older in age, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to go around the world and teach people their identity. I wanted to teach people that you're not limited. You're not limited to what the church says. You're not limited. And yes, I was always very taboo for the church. You're not limited to what the pastors say. You're not limited to what the Bible says. You have no limit. You do not need anything but a relationship. And inside that relationship, you will find the understanding of your identity. Anything that minimizes who you are does not come from the Father. So that's why I started this journey to become a Christian minister, because my desire was always to teach people identity. So, but you know, in 2016, I had an encounter, Jeff, with a being, and this being was full of colors, just strips of colors, multicolored. And I was brought, that being was brought to me by Yeshua, and Yeshua said to me, Karina, this is the spirit or the being of truth. And I was taken back. Because my thing was like, why does he have all these colors? What? I don't understand. And I was told, truth carries the multifaceted of the frequencies and the colors that are in divine creator's heart. Because in this realm of divine creator, father, whatever you want to call him, I call him my father, okay? Infinity itself, there are facets of truth. So this being of truth personifies the different facets of the frequencies of the truth that flow out of divinities of infinity of divine creator's heart. So when I was introduced to this being, I was asked, Karina, are you ready to walk your quest for truth? And I was like, of course. Yes, I am. And then I was asked again, Karina, are you ready to walk your quest for truth? And I was like, of course I am. I want truth. I thought I knew truth. And then I was asked a third time, Karina, are you ready? Can you handle the truth? And then I stopped and I said, wow, what exactly are you saying? And then I was told by this being, because the truth that you're going to see, it's going to shake the very core of the foundation of your belief system. Because see, this being of truth or truth is here, you guys, to take you from one level of understanding to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. In other words, when we walk our quest for truth, you never reach one level and you're like, that's it. I know it all. I'm good. I don't need anything more. No, because truth is always here to take you. Once you reach this level of truth on this step, get ready, because you're going to a higher level. When you reach that level of truth on this one, you're going higher or deeper or wider. Do you understand? Truth is always here to take you from one level of understanding, one level of truth, one level of maturity, one level of glory to the next one and to the next one and to the next one, because we will have never arrived. We're always evolving. We're always awakening. We're always unfolding the vastness of the reality that truth carries of who we are and everything that's connected to infinity, to source, to love, to light, to creation, to abundance, to hope, to future, to recreating the realities that we must recreate that have nothing to do with this carnal, limited, chaotic, dark realities that we are finding ourselves now in. So ever since then, Jeff, I have been on such a quest for truth. And I am so blessed to be able to take anybody that chooses to come with us, along with us, on this quest for truth that has shaken the very core of the foundation of Christianity. And it's continuing to do that. And it's not a fun position for me to be in, by the way. It's not.
Well, speaking of the truth, what is the biggest lie in the world that everyone believes?
Wow. Well, the biggest lie in the world, that's a good question. I've never been asked that, Jeff. You have some great questions. The biggest lie, I think, for me, that everyone has believed is that we are less than. That we are not powerful, that we can't change situations, that we are stuck in a limited reality that is based on chaos, hopelessness, destruction, and fear. That is a lie from the pit of hell, if there is such a thing. That is a lie from the dark ones that do not want you to know who you are. You are not limitless. You are not a victim. You are not limited. You are not bound to this chaos. You can change all of that. All of that you can change depending on what you focus on. And I know that sounds simple. Listen, whatever you focus on becomes the source of your supply. So if you keep focusing on the rearview mirror, what happened in your past, listen, I know a lot of you have gone through hell. I've gone through hell. And some of you have gone through worse. Everybody's gone through one level of hell, some more than the others, some less than others. But listen to me. If you keep looking in the rearview mirror at the past experiences, you will never be able to go forward into the reality of who you are. If I drive looking in the rearview mirror, I'm going to get in a lot of accidents. So do not focus on your past anymore, as hard as that may be. Focus on the promises. Listen to me. You are here for a reason. You are here for a reason, and that reason is for greatness. Your blueprint is a magnificent, wonderful blueprint with magnificent abilities that are right now inside your DNA that are locked there just waiting for you to engage with them. How do you engage with them? Going within and saying, I know that I'm more than my past. I will no longer look at my past. I'm looking at who I am right now. I am great. Listen, speak it out. Even though you don't see it, speak it. Number one, you have to set your sight on the truth of who you are. Number two, speak it. Even if you don't see it, fake it till you make it. Listen to me. I know that's a saying we all heard and we laugh at it. You may be in a situation that looks chaotic, that may look horrible, that may look dangerous. I understand. I've been in those situations. Maybe not like you. But listen to me. What you have to do is say, I will live and not die. I am victorious. I'm coming out of this. There's life inside of me. My blueprint is amazing. I'm called for greatness. I was born for a reason, for greatness. I can become who I was meant to be, which is not this victim. I am no longer a victim. I'm no longer bound to my past. I'm no longer bound to the curses and the accusations and the lies that have been spoken to me. I know who I am. Say that until you believe it. And listen to me. The more you say it, the more it's going to begin to open up that reality, because you create the reality. You create the reality by what you look at and then by what you speak. And when you speak it, you solidify it. When you look at it, you bring it into existence. That's quantum physics. And when you speak it, you solidify it. You give it a right for that reality to exist. So, Jeff, I just went down on a totally different direction. But I don't know. I just feel like people just need to remember who they are. So all this to say, okay, so the biggest lie, yes. The biggest lie, I believe, is that us being limited about who we are, lied about our identity and our abilities. And in Christendom, the biggest lie is who our Father really is, who God really is.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, yes. The God of the Old Testament is not the Father that Yeshua was talking about. Absolutely not. And it is a shock. I understand it is a huge bomb, and it is a big taboo in the Christian arena. But there's so much proof, and this is what I've done since 2017. I started researching and finding scripture. All I'm doing is taking scripture to prove scripture, and I'm looking at the parallels between the God of the Old Testament and the one that Yeshua was talking about and trying to introduce us to. Yahweh is not the same as the Father that Yeshua was talking about. Absolutely. This is a wannabe masquerading as our Father. And the one that Yeshua was talking about is our Father. So, you know, I'm going to begin another book called The Tales of the Two Fathers, because we have to know who our Father truly is in order for us to understand who we truly are.
I've talked about with another guest that Yeshua is an ET. Is that what you believe? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. He is one of the Elohims. You know, the problem in Christianity, as we have been taught, is we were told that there's only one God, and that's where a lot of confusion came. And it was not by mistake. They did it purposefully because they programmed. Oh my gosh. This was such an evil program based on control, fear, manipulation, that so many of the humanity have been bound in. So, yes, Yahweh is definitely an Elohim. Elohim is plural for gods. We're talking about a pantheon of gods, and we're talking about, you know, the children of divinity itself, and, you know, divine creator. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. There's more good than bad. And unfortunately, Yahweh is one of a very bad one that lied, that is connected to death, destruction, human sacrifice, bloodshed, wars, fire, brimstone, chaos, fear, obedience. So absolutely, yes, he is not. He's definitely, you can consider him an ET, absolutely.
Do you think he is or was a reptilian ET?
You know, it would make sense because, yes, I would say yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you've spoken a couple times of the dark ones.
Yes.
Are those demons or entities or ETs?
They're all of the above. All of the above, because what happens is, even in the demonic realm, you know, demons are disembodied spirits. So you have that going on. And then you have the dark ones, the evil ETs, like we know, we've heard about. And they have become allies, you know, some all of them become allies. And they kind of, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. They hate each other. But yet, you know, they're becoming allies. So yes, that's what, when I say the dark ones, it's all of the above.
Do you think that Jesus didn't believe that Yahweh was God?
Oh, absolutely. I know. Just from the scriptures, the research that I've done thousands upon thousands of hours of scripture, of studying and digging and researching. I don't play around when I research. And absolutely, there's many times that he said it, but a very clear one that I always like to point out when I speak about this is in John, I believe chapter 9 or 8, it says, and Yeshua, this is one before they crucified him, and the all the Levitical priesthood came, Caiaphas and the Mary man, right? And they were the priests of Yahweh. They were the Levitical priesthood who worshiped Yahweh. And Yeshua looked at them and he said to them, your father is not my father. If your father was my father, you would recognize me because I come from the Father, but your father has been a murderer of humanity from the beginning and a liar. Your father is the devil, and you are going to do right now your father's desire, which was to crucify Yeshua. So that right there is so clear. And there's a whole bunch of other places. I'll give you an example, one other example. Here we are, the Israelites, right? They're in the desert, going in circle for 40 years. And they were sick and tired of eating manna, just sick of it. And they went to Moses and they said, please, can you tell Yahweh, we want some meat. And Moses goes to Yahweh, pisses him off, pisses Yahweh off. What does Yahweh do? He sends snakes to bite the people, and therefore they die. Now, in order for the other ones, so Moses goes back to Yahweh and says, what are you doing? And Yahweh says, oh, okay, you know, I was angry with them. Okay, just raise up a snake, put him on a pole and have them all look at the snake. Interesting. And then they'll be healed. Listen, another story. Hold that in your mind. Let's go to when the Israelites were very thirsty. They were so thirsty, they went to Moses and they said, please tell Yahweh, we're thirsty, we want something to drink. Moses goes to Yahweh, he says, can you give him some water? He says, no, I'm not giving them water. You give him water, Moses. Moses got so ticked off. He takes his rod and he hits a rock or a stone. Rock, stone, right? Stone is a smaller part of a rock. Water comes out. Keep that in mind. Let's go now to Yeshua. What does he say? He says, listen, if you ask anything of my father, he's going to give to you. If you ask for a fish, which is meat, he will not give you a snake. And if you ask for bread or water, which was taken out, he's not going to give you a stone. Do you see the parallels? Yahweh says, one more. Yahweh says, this is what I command you, that you fear and obey me. You look at Yeshua, he says, listen, my father has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, Christ consciousness, because my father is love. And in my father, there is no shifting shadows. In other words, he's not pissed off one time. He's not bipolar. So yes, there are so many places, so many. So to answer your question, absolutely. He knew that Yahweh was not the father or divine creator or love or any of the above.
I noticed you referred to Jesus as a brother.
Yes.
So do you believe that Jesus really wasn't a shepherd?
Yes, I don't believe he was a shepherd. Oh my gosh, that's a good question. No, I don't believe. And you know, I don't believe it. And even when it says in the Bible, Old Testament, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it has nothing to do with our father. Now, is there some woven thread in there where the father is? Yes, because that's how they confuse people. Put a whole bunch of crap and leave one slither of truth. And then when a person sees that, they're like, but see, this is truth. So everything must be true. That's a tactic to keep us bound. So yes, listen, a shepherd, we've been told, oh, we're sheep. I have a problem with one of the dumbest animals. Beautiful, cute little animals, but dumb. Okay. Then we've been told, be afraid of the wolf. Be afraid of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And what we've been told is that the shepherd is protecting us from the bad wolf. Now, let me say something. A shepherd is only there to protect your butt from a wolf until it's time for that shepherd to fatten you up, to cut you, to eat you, and take everything that's of value and use for himself. Jesus is not a shepherd. So let's just put that story, that example to the side. We are told that we are sons, that as he is, so are we. And this is what Yeshua said. He said, listen, everything that I have done, walked on water, walked through men, shifted dimensions, manifested substance out of nothing, healed the sick, raised the dead. And he said, everything I have done is not written down, because if it was, there would not be enough libraries in the world to contain the books of everything that I have done. And then he says, now listen, you are to do that. You are to do more than what I've done. So, and then it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So what am I? Am I a sheep? Am I his brother? Is he my husband? Or is he my father? Do you see all of these, Jeff, have been so mixed up. I saw an interview yesterday with this beautiful lady on a Christian platform. And, you know, she was saying, oh, Jesus is my brother and my husband and my God. And it's just like, but that's, do you understand? That's the brainwashing to keep us from knowing our true identity. No, you're not a sheep. No, he's not your husband. You are a son or a daughter. When I speak a son, I'm not saying as gender. I'm speaking of a position of power, authority, and responsibility. You are a son with infinity, the power of infinity inside of you. As he is, so are you. You are great. You are not a sheep. He's not your husband. You're not less than. You're not weak. You're not a victim. You are all of possibility of infinity inside every cell of your body.
In your studies of Jesus, did you ever find anything where he spoke of celestial beings?
Yes, he did. He spoke of celestial beings very, very, all the time.
I mean, maybe I should rephrase that to like ETs.
You know, the problem is that the translations that we have are so not right. And a lot of places where it's been translated as angel, it's not angel, it's actually a messenger. A lot of places where, yes, our English word of an angel, we think, you know, being with wings and everything. No, it's actually a messenger, and a messenger can be in any form. But see, we connect messenger with angel because that's how we've been programmed to believe. So, but there's distinction between an angel, and then there's distinction between a messenger, but everything's been thrown together. So now messenger is seen as angel. So there's no distinction. But when you go research, oh, you can see a very clear distinction. And yes, he talked about celestial beings, ETs, because really what an ET, you guys, is an extraterrestrial being, which means they're from the cosmos, which means they're not from the earth. So that's really not such a woo as we have made it to be. It's just beings, it's creation, our brothers and sisters from other realms, from other star systems and planets. It's that's really all it is.
What about Abraham? Do you find any information about Abraham in contact with ETs?
Well, Abraham definitely, since Yahweh's basically, he's not of the earth. So obviously he's an ET, right? Again, we're thinking of ETs, only like grays or big eyes and small heads, and ET's really not of this earth. So yes, Abraham, that's who really, that's the huge part of his life. That's who Abraham was connected with. Absolutely ETs. And as Yahweh being one of them, there's a lot actually, because again, everywhere you look in the scripture where you see it being translated as an angel or being, yeah, the word used an angel, it's not necessarily an angel, it's a being. It's a being that looked very different than we as humans. So when you look at that, it's absolutely not an angel, but it's a celestial being, an extraterrestrial. Yeah, all of them in the Bible had it, all of them.
What kind of experiences and encounters have you personally had in the spirit realm?
Wow, I had a lot. I grew up on having those encounters. I have them every time I make time. I have it. I have them. I'll share one that was quite extraordinary. Let's see, it was 2013, and I was in my living room sitting on the sofa, and I heard Yeshua say, "Karina, go get a notebook and write things down exactly as you see them. I want you to write down every detail." And I knew, now I know why. Well, I've learned why. It's very important to write things down. So I got back on the sofa. I had my notebook in my legs, on my lap, and I closed my eyes, and all of a sudden I was on I met a being called Mystery. And the being was a very unique looking unicorn. It had feather, tiny silk-like feathers instead of fur on its body, on her body. It's a she. And when I first met her, I was introduced to her again as Mystery, and I was told because the realms of mystery are opening up right now. In this time and in this season, the realms of mystery are opening up for whosoever chooses to engage with truth that will lead you to these mysteries that then will become unveiled as the truth. So no longer hidden as a mystery. Okay. So Yeshua said, "Come on, get on Mystery's back. There's something that I want you to see." So I did. And we flew, Jeff, we flew in the cosmos, and I saw Earth and was getting smaller and smaller, then the planet is getting smaller and smaller. And all of a sudden, so I'm there, right? Like, talk about quantum entanglement, because I'm there, but I'm also in my living room. So literally he's saying, "Now, Karina, open up your eyes and write down every detail, write down the details." So I would write down the detail, I would close my eyes, and I was right there again. So all of a sudden we approached the nebula that we all know called the Eye of God, remember? And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, I have lost my mind. I've lost my mind," because I've never been in this type of encounter where I've been out in the cosmos. That was my first one, being out in the cosmos, with in the nebulas, right? So we entered in the nebula, the Eye of God, and I was describing absolutely everything. When we went in, it was like a liquid, like water, but it wasn't wet. It just felt cool. Now I know it's plasma. Back then I didn't know. So I was writing everything down. So listen, there's tunnels going everywhere from that nebula, and they were dark. And there was one going this way. They were everywhere. So I was drawing the tunnels, closed my eyes, was back there. And all of a sudden we go through this tunnel, and that's when he taught me about dark matter, dark energy. And I did write about that in my book, Hidden Dimensions and Beyond. That's where he gave me a whole download of understanding what it actually is and why it's dark and all of that amazing stuff. So anyway, we go out through this one tunnel, and Jeff, we get out over a pink planet. And I'm going, "Oh crap, I've lost my mind. Karina, on a unicorn, okay, on over a pink planet. Hello." Okay. So he says, "Karina, write it down." And I describe it like a jewel planet. I describe the color. It's magenta, like shadows of baby pink. I describe it. And this is the thing. I wrote down it's a jewel planet. And that's when I put, there are other planets that are jewel-like planets, including a diamond planet. Okay. I wrote it down. And I was told, Karina, we flew out 56 light years away. Okay, this was a 4-hour encounter. Okay, done with the encounter. My son, our older son, comes home. He was at college back then. I spend time with him and he leaves. And then it's like, Karina, go ahead and Google. Because I was itching, Jeff. You know, it's like, you want to confirm, right? I've lost my mind. I'm like, I've never heard of a pink planet. So time comes and I Google. I'm like, is there a pink planet that was discovered? And my gosh, lo and behold, all these articles, boop, 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 pink planet discovered, and they call it a jewel planet, and it is 56 light years away from Earth. Oh. Okay. So that's when a lot of my cosmic encounters started. No, I've never been on a spaceship per se. I've always been encountering and going in these places with my celestial body, if you will, because we have 9 bodies at least. And this is the one I've been operating in my celestial body, where this is the body that I use when I travel celestially, you know, in the cosmos, rather than a terrestrial body where you use it to go through and fro on the earth. So, and you know, you can say it's your Merkaba. If you want to say that, yes, that's definitely, it's not this or this, it's this and this. So yes, that's when my encounters in the cosmos began. With that.
What do you mean by that's your Merkaba?
Well, you know, the Merkaba is your light spirit body. And you operate in that, at least for me, I engage in that. It's your traveling vehicle. And actually, I did quite an intense teaching on that, quite an intense teaching. And then I had people activate the Merkaba. And it's like a 3-hour activation in itself, because it's very detailed, engaging the speed of light and all of that. So yes, so when I travel in the cosmos, I travel with my celestial body through the Merkaba. And I was doing it, Jeff, before I even knew there was a Merkaba. I knew nothing about a Merkaba back in 2013 or 2015. But this is what I'm saying. When you have a desire, you don't freak out, you don't fear, you step outside of fear, because we have been so bound by fear and by limitations. There is nothing that you cannot and will not do when you step outside of fear and trust that the kingdom realms are within you, and every ability. Nobody's more special than somebody. We all have the ability. The only difference is, do you choose? This person may choose or this person may not choose. And this is a saying that I've been saying, because I was given to me when I was preaching one time. You know, there's a scripture that says, Jeff, there's a scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I never liked that scripture. I never understood it. And in a split second, with the mic in hand, as I was preaching and teaching, I got the revelation. It's because your choice chooses you. We all have the same ability. We all have the same power within us. Infinity is all within our reach. It's because it's inside of our DNA. We are mirror and reflections of divinity itself. The only difference is, what are you going to choose? Your choice is going to choose you to walk in all of those abilities, or your choice not to do anything will choose you not to be able to walk in those abilities. So our choice chooses us.
I wish I would have said this earlier, but for people who don't know, the Merkaba is basically like a star made from two opposing pyramids.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's remarkable because it's part of us. It's part of our light spirit body. It's really part of our DNA. And the Merkaba, when it's activated, it helps. It unlocks the memories that are held inside our DNA, you know, like in time capsules. We have time capsules in our DNA that hold a lot of memories and information and abilities. So when we activate our Merkaba, and listen, it's not, so please hear me. You may listen and you may watch and you may be like, oh, I don't know how to activate my Merkaba. That means I can never access these memories. No. That's not true. That's just different tools that you can use. You know, you can cut somebody's hair by using a regular scissor. You can cut somebody's hair by using that scissor that is just to trim. You can use a knife. You can, you know, you hear what I'm saying? All you have to do is go within. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. Start speaking those things that are not yet like they literally are. Do you understand? You may not feel like you're completely healed. No matter if you're dealing with a sickness, you may not feel like you're healed. Maybe you're throwing up, but listen, throwing up, say, I know I'm healed. because healing itself flows through every fiber of my being. I am healed. I am living. I have a hope. I have a future. Do you understand? Say it while you throw up, but say it.
If we go back to your book, Hidden Dimensions and what's the rest of the title? Hidden Dimensions and Beyond. Yes. What are some of the hidden dimensions that you speak of?
Wow. The hidden dimensions. The most important one is understanding love. That is the most important dimension that we need to tap into. Because when we tap into that dimension, there is no limit to where we're going from there, because love encapsulates everything. Now, when I'm talking about love, I'm speaking about the essence of divine creator. The essence, God is love. Your father, divine creator, is love. Love is the essence that creates. He creates out of love. He, she, because you have mother, father, right? It's two aspects. You have the father and the mother. They create out of love. So when you understand that you have an access to enter in those dimensions, and it's within you, you can live from that dimension, and it's hidden, right? You don't look around, you say, oh, I see love here. I see love. Not necessarily. It's a hidden dimension, but it's inside of you. So when you understand what that is and how you can access this, access it, then there's no more limits. Because when you enter in that dimension, listen to me, you are outside of every limitation, every realm, every limited reality. When you live from within the realm of love, imagine as if you're looking in your hand, and inside your hand is a capsule, and inside that capsule is everything, everything that was created, seen and unseen, including death. Okay, listen to me. But if you live in love, in that realm, that's in that dimension that's hidden, that you have access to, you are living outside of this capsule that's in your hand. So then, all the limitations that are in here, you are outside of it. So these then do not dictate who you are. These then do not have control over you anymore. These then are no longer part of your reality because you are outside of that. Hear me, because you are in that realm of infinity. You are, listen, you are in the realm of infinity and in the realm of immortality. And every law that's connected to every other dimension is now no longer has control over you because you are living outside of that, and that is in the palm of your hand.
One of your books is titled Unveiling the Mysteries of the Celestial and Engaging the Blueprint of God. Can you tell us more about what the blueprint of God is?
Yeah, the blueprint of God is basically your blueprint, your original blueprint, what you came here with. What, listen, not only what you came here with, what is inside of every ounce of your DNA? Because you may have lived a gazillion lifetimes. You may have lived, you know, this, your life on earth may have been your 10,000th life. I don't know. I'm just saying. So your original blueprint is the very fingerprint that has your name on it. It's the way a blueprint, how I describe it is, for instance, I want to build a hospital. So you make a blueprint of that hospital, right? It's a blueprint. Now, the mandates that are found in the blueprint is, what is that hospital for? Is it for children? Is it for women? Is it for men? Is it for veterans? So a blueprint is who you are. And inside your blueprint, there are so many mandates. And that blueprint, the problem is we have lived our life because we don't remember who we were. We have been walking with spiritual amnesia. We have been kind of going like this, you know, like a blind person tries to kind of see his or her way in a room. This is how we've been doing. We've been living. And it's time for us not to do that anymore, you guys, because you have a blueprint. And that blueprint wants to help you remember who you are. Listen, your blueprint is not a victim. Your blueprint is not poverty. Your blueprint is not you're sick. That's not your blueprint. That's circumstances that came. Listen, circumstances that came to try to alter who you are, to alter your blueprint. But if your blueprint says something else, then listen to me. Then that's what you need to engage with, because your blueprint has the highest frequency and power speaking the truth over you. And the truth will trump anything that does not align with it. You put two frequencies together, the one that's higher is going to trump the one that's lower any day. So this is basically, it's a very in-depth book, but this is basically what it is. It's us engaging, remembering who we are by engaging with our original blueprint. That does not come from our circumstances, situations, from the past. The original blueprint comes from divine creator, our father.
Why do you think we keep reincarnating over and over again?
You know, that's a very good question. I cannot say I have a positive answer on that. What I can say from what I know, just a little piece that I know that I'm seeing, is because some of us are choosing. There's an assignment, we're volunteering. There's an assignment that needs to be done. And because we're warriors, some of us, and we're like, I'm not done yet. I want to go back. I want to help. I want to awaken. I want to do this. But again, the problem with that is that we keep reincarnating, but we're not remembering who we are. So we're living 50, 60 years of our life in pure amnesia. The dark ones are taking advantage of that, kicking us, pushing us down, mocking us, right? And then finally we remember, but then it's, you know, we can't remember when we're 80. So it's the end of our life. So then we have not achieved what we were meant to achieve. So you guys, that's why I say it's time. One of the most important things is for you to remember who you are. The quicker you remember who you are, the quicker you can do what you came to do, what you choose to come and do. And you know what? If you do what you chose to come and do, you're like, I'm done. Don't want to come back. Assignment done. Let's go. So that's the little perspective that I have.
Do you think it's possible that in a previous life, you were an ET?
Oh, absolutely. Like a starseed?
Yeah.
Like coming from, absolutely. Yes, I believe there's a lot of starseeds that are here. And even Enoch talked about it. You know, in our academy, I was teaching on Enoch. It was a 7-week course. And even he talks very, very clearly. He talks about three different races, the chosen ones, the ancient ones, and the sacred ones. So he talks about three specific races, and he says that they came from the heavens above. They came down to earth and they mingled with humanity because they had an assignment to bring. They had an assignment to fulfill. So a lot of us are star seeds, and some of us are not. You know, there is such thing as inner earth. There is many realms inside inner earth. Some of us came from there. And some of us are from here, from earth. And that's incredible. It doesn't make one person more special than the other. Absolutely not. We all carry different facets of abilities in our blueprint that we all need to unite, you guys, unite and co-labor together. All this division crap, it's only doing exactly what the dark ones want. So, you know, this is the beauty of the starseeds connecting with, you know, I don't know, Laura Eisenhower told me the name of the people that come from the inner earth. I don't remember, but, you know, or if you came from earth. Bottom line is remember who you are, start walking those memories out and uniting with your fellow brother and sister.
During my research of you, I saw that you had 4 books, but then I got confused and thought maybe you have 5 or 6 books.
I do. Yeah, it's confusing because right now, 6. And the reason that is I have a manual, Abracadabra Berichefer, that goes with the Art Academy, where people that take the academy, you don't have to take it and still get the manual. It's very beneficial because it's more a space for you to write your encounters and engage. And I give little points on how to do that and write things down. So it's little assignments. And then the Quest for Freedom, my autobiography, this now is my third edition and it's revised. This is where I added a lot of my memories that have started coming back. So that's why, you know, with my Quest for Freedom book, we're getting to this. So it is my sixth book that I've published. So you're right. You're right.
Well, that's great. Now you also have a podcast as well, right?
Yes, my incredible producer, Karen, has put us on a whole bunch of different platforms. Oh my gosh. Every platform that there is, she basically put me on there.
What's the name of it?
It's The Quest for Truth.
Quest for Truth. And that's, I believe, is also the name of your YouTube channel, right?
Yes, it's The Quest for Truth Hidden Mysteries TV. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, do you have anything else that you're working on that you want us to know about?
I started working already on, you know, seventh or whatever book, losing count, The Tales of the Two Fathers. So working on that, which is where I'm presenting, the reader with, scriptures, very, very clear scriptures regarding Yahweh and who he is and who he's not. And I'm actually very excited. Thank you for asking. I have been honored to be part of the Spiritual and Galactic Informers Connection in Orlando, Florida. That's coming up October the 20th through the 22nd, which will be incredible. It's a huge disclosure event hosted by Danny Henderson. And I am among these beautiful people, such as Dr. Sala, Elena Adnan, Dan Willis, all these amazing people. So yes, I'm doing that. And at the beginning next year, we're going to launch some more teachings for our academy. So that's exciting.
Well, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. If you're open to that, should they contact you on your website, Facebook, or YouTube?
Yes, that's a great question. So we have just launched our website, which is, let's see, The Quest for Truth with Karina Pataki.com, I think, or .org, one of them. So just Quest for Truth with Karina Pataki, I think .com or .org. I don't know. I don't remember now. But yes, also on Facebook, The Quest for Truth Facebook page. And we also have a Patreon where I meet once a month and I answer questions. I mentor people, and it's more of a place for me to be able to take time and just answer questions. It's more of a smaller group, and that's why it's so wonderful. It's not like there's hundreds of people and people are like, she won't get to my question. No, it's very hands-on, and we spend time, we ascend. I have that, and then so they can contact us either email, Facebook page, The Quest for Truth, our Patreon, join our Patreon, our YouTube, or email kingdomreflections@gmail.com.
Karina, before we finish up, can you leave us with one more positive message?
Yes, absolutely. Never limit yourself. This is the most important part of the message that I am so honored to bring to all of you guys. Never limit yourself. Always remember that you are more than your circumstance. You are more than the chaotic reality that you're seeing right now, and that you can change that. You are loved. You are so loved. You are not alone. Hear me. You are not alone. No matter what you're going through, there is a higher power that's right there next to you. All you need to do is allow that love to infiltrate you and encapsulate you like a beautiful bubble. So in other words, quiet down all the accusatory voices, all the chaos. Just shut it out. Just shut it out. Ignore it and go in and just quiet yourself and allow yourself to feel that love. And I'm telling you, that love is the power of transformation that will transform you. and catapult you and pull you out of whatever you're going through into the reality of truly who you are and the life, the reality that is attached to who you truly are. Remember, you are not your circumstance. That is but an illusion. Please hear me. It's an illusion. Don't look at that. The only power they have, that illusion has over you, is what you give it by you looking at it, speaking to it, engaging with it. Shut it out. And think simple, very simple. Whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is encouraging, whatever is life, focus on that and speak that no matter what's happening around you. And I know it's not easy, but sometimes, though we suffer violence, let me tell you something. When we get violent enough, we're going to take it by force. Meaning what? No matter what you're going through, even if you say it's screaming, you scream it. I will live. This is not my reality. I'm loved. I'm special. I'm powerful. I'm mighty. I'm victorious. Scream it if you have to. Become violent if you have to by speaking it out loud. But do not engage anymore with what is in the past. And a past, listen, is what happened a minute ago. That's your past. Don't engage. If it doesn't bring you life, as hard as it is, don't engage with it. Let it go. You are loved. You're so special. You are powerful. You're unique. You're mighty. And I love you.
Karina, thank you for your message. And thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. Thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Well, the pleasure and honor was all mine.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.